Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading, another gospel reading, is from the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. And as you can see, we'll all join in where the print is in bold. Luke 22, 14 to 20. "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." When I was a 14-year-old freshman in high school, I was completing my third and last year of confirmation. Confirmation at Christ Lutheran Church near Tacoma. And that third year of confirmation, Pastor Ed Nessie taught most of the class, most of the time anyway. Pastor Nessie was very near the end of his career. He was pretty old, which is maybe is why I was so fascinated by the story of how he became a pastor. He was in elementary school, living in some little Norwegian town in North Dakota with the other immigrants, when the great worldwide flu epidemic of 1918 swept through the area. His older brother got sick and died. And soon little Ed got sick also. pummeled by grief for his brother and fear that he too would die, little Ed Nessie made the most desperate of promises to God. He promised God that if his life was spared, he'd abandon his dream of going to West Point and becoming an army officer and instead go to seminary and become a pastor. That's what happened. Tough break. However, his military aspirations were, after all, fulfilled in a way. And that's why I'm telling this story. As a young man, Pastor Nessie served as a naval chaplain in the Pacific Theater in World War II. And I remember him describing serving communion to hundreds of young men who were packed onto the naval ship he served. Young men about to board landing craft on the way to the beach of Iwo Jima. As he described it, there was a desperate desire among those men for the body and blood of Jesus. Even though certainly not all who participated fully understood what they were doing, they did understand the words of forgiveness that accompanied the bread and wine. And those young men facing death recognized their deep and desperate need to be forgiven by God and reconciled with God. Even as their minds were laced with fear and doubt, they could still taste and touch God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And they wanted it desperately. On the night of the Last Supper, Jesus gave his disciples bread and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took a cup of wine and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant," or the New Testament, or the new promise, "which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Bread, or wafers like we usually use, don't look or taste or feel like anybody's body. Wine doesn't taste like blood. So what's Jesus talking about? Where does this come from? Around the year 1500 BC, the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. Moses came to lead them out of slavery, but he wasn't making much headway with Pharaoh. So one night, each Jewish household was instructed by Moses to kill their best lamb and wipe the blood over their doorpost. And that night, the angel of death passed over every household in Egypt. The firstborn in every Egyptian household died that night. But the angel of death passed over the Jewish homes where the blood of the lamb was wiped above the doorpost. After that night, Pharaoh had enough. He finally released the Jewish people from bondage, and they began their long walk to the promised land. You can read about it in Exodus 12. God commanded the Jewish people to memorialize that night with the Passover feast. Many months later, out in the desert, Moses built an altar at the foot of Mount Sinai, and with the 70 elders of the people, he had the young men sacrifice bulls on the altar. And then he gathered the blood in large bowls. And as the people gathered around, he sprinkled them with the blood, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant," or testament. This application of blood sprinkled on the people, formally brought them into a covenant relationship with God and made them beneficiaries of God's covenant promises. They now officially belonged to God. They were His people. You can read about it in Exodus 24. So roughly 1,500 years later now, Jesus sat with His disciples and celebrated the last Passover for Him, a Seder supper He would eat with them, the last commemoration of when the angel of death passed over the Jewish households. By the way, Seder refers to a particular liturgy or particular words that are recited on a special occasion. So on the night of the Last Supper, Maundy Thursday, Jesus recited the Passover Seder because it was Passover night. As part of the Passover Seder meal, a special goblet of wine was placed on the table, and it was filled up and passed around four times. Each time the cup was passed around, one of the four testaments or promises that God had instructed Moses to speak to the Jewish people was recited. Those promises are found in Exodus 6, verses 6 and 7. The first promise was, "I will bring you out of Egypt." The second promise was, "I will free you from slavery." The third was, "I will redeem you with mighty acts of judgment." And the fourth was, "I will take you as my own people." But on this night, Jesus refilled the cup one more time, a fifth time. And He said to His disciples, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament or new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Jesus was announcing a new promise, a new testament or covenant from God. And He was pointing to His crucifixion just hours away. In His death on a cross, He freed us, not from Egyptian slavery, but from the consequences of sin. He freed us from death. And He did it with the greatest of all mighty act of judgment. An act of judgment upon Himself. When He paid the penalty for our sin, for all of us sinners who have ever lived or ever will live. When Jesus said, "This is the new testament in my blood," Jesus was referring to His death on the cross and to the good news that though you are sinful, Christ shed His blood and died for you. That's the new promise, the new covenant, or new testament you have from God. It builds on the Old Testament and includes everyone who puts their faith in Jesus. You belong to Him. So if you come to the communion rail weighed down with guilt and regret and sadness, or you're going into battle filled with fear, in the bread and wine is the promise of forgiveness and reconciliation with God. Whether eating the bread and drinking the wine makes you feel anything or not, it doesn't matter. This is God's action, not yours. You're still forgiven and accepted. It's God who somehow, some way makes His body and blood present in the bread and wine. It's God who forgives you, cleanses you, and includes you as one of His own. It's God who refreshes you. When you eat His body and drink His blood, you can be confident, regardless of how you feel, that God loves you and that He'll help you, and He has your life in His hands. You can be sure that God will find a way to create good, even out of your most difficult, troublesome circumstances. It's nice to feel God's love and forgiveness emotionally. But whether you do or you don't, it doesn't matter with communion. This is a promise of forgiveness and acceptance from God to you. A promise you can taste and touch, whether you can feel it emotionally or not. And that means receiving the body and blood of Jesus in communion changes your life for the better every time. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we begin this story of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus tonight, starting with this event of Maundy Thursday and the initiation of communion or Eucharist, Lord, help us to appreciate what You have given us, this gift rooted in history, this promise that You will be with us and that we are forgiven. Fill us with gratitude. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.